Oh, goodness. I didn't know I had fans. Dave, what have you been telling these children? Oh, goodness. Well, hopefully most of it was true. Thank you, Stan, for that beautiful serenade. Before I start, let's open in prayer. Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us all here today. We thank you, Lord, for the encouraging sight before us, Lord, for all these young people whose hearts are drawn to you, Lord, who are looking for some of that spiritual food that you tell us of, Lord, that have been nursing that delicious milk and that they look to move up and move on to that solid nutrition that you offer us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here safely, and we just pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to your word, and that you would work through us, Lord, in all things in our lives, whether it be good or bad, whether it be trial or temptation, or whether it be treasure, Lord. We thank you and praise you for everything you do in our lives, for all the amazing gifts you give us, but most of all for that perfect gift offered to us by Jesus Christ through his work done at the cross. We thank you, Lord, and we raise those things up to you in his name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not much of a public speaker, so hopefully you guys can bear with me. When Dave asked me to come and speak to you all, I was a little nervous. I used to speaking to an older crowd, but I quickly became a little more relaxed because I thought to myself, my kids at home don't listen to me anyway, so you probably won't hear anything I have to say. Sorry, bad joke. Sorry. Bro. I apologize.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Anyways, my name is Joe DeRoche. I come from Valgania, Ontario. I attend the chapel in Iroquois Falls. And Dave asked me to come in this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, to share my testimony. I guess I should start by telling you a little bit about me. I grew up a farmer. I'm a truck driver, which is why my most of my testimony revolves around the word, around work. When I was young, I was basted in work pretty heavy. When we were just young fellows, we were put to labor on the farm, a lot of long days and a lot of short nights, I guess you could say. But mostly what I wanted to talk to you about today wasn't the work that I do, but the work that the Lord does. First of all, what he did to me and what he does through us. I'd like to start off. Sorry, this little pulpit's kind of short for a big guy like me. There it is. Sorry about that. I'd like to start off with a verse from 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, starting at verse 10. But God has revealed to them, to us, through him, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Oh, thank you, Joel. Oh, I broke it. I'm good at that, too. Thank you, Joel. That's much better. What, that was a bad joke from the back there. Good one. Sorry, where was I? For what man knows the deep things of God? For what man knows the deep things of God? Things of man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. For some reason that verse doesn't seem right. Anyways, I was brought to the Lord later on in my life, a lot later than most of you here. I only recently became saved at the age of 26. I'm 30 now. You're probably all thinking, wow, that's really old. But I was brought to the Lord through my wife, who is probably glad she's not here today because she hates it when I point her out. My wife was brought to the Lord through her brother, who lives down near Ottawa. I had brought her to visit, and I had left her there for a couple of weeks while I worked. And when I went to retrieve her, to pick her up from her visit, she might not have been saved at that point yet, but she was interested in learning about the Lord. And the ride from Ottawa, to say the least, was a very long ride home. I wasn't very interested in learning about the Lord. I wasn't interested in hearing much of what he had to say to me. I was reluctant to hear what my wife had to say about the subject also. It was a lot of screaming and yelling and crying and arguing, and it was a long 8-9 hours of a trip. But the Lord used that amazing gift that he gave my wife to be stubborn towards me, to break through, to break down the walls that I had built up. And eventually to plant that seed in my heart. It wasn't long after that we started attending the chapel in Iroquois Falls. We started to get to know the Lord's saints and the amazing fellowship that he provided to us. And I was very new to me. I grew up Catholic in Valgoigne. We went to a church every Sunday. It was a French church, and at that age, I didn't speak a whole lot of French, and I found church to be very boring, very monotonous. I'd sit in the back of the pew next to my father and pretend to be listening and just dream of whatever else we could be doing as soon as they told us we could leave. And when I started attending the chapel in Iroquois Falls, I noticed that there was a big difference between the way that we worshipped when I was growing up through the Catholic fellowship to the born-again fellowship that I had come into in Iroquois Falls. There was a lot of works in the Catholic religion that we were told to do, told to practice in order to help us through with our salvation. And most of that stuff is very monotonous, very repeating, a lot of prayer, a lot of tithing and supplication for things that really, probably in the end, if you don't know the Lord, aren't going to get you very far. Not to say that works aren't important, but just a different kind of works. And that was what I came to learn when I started to attend in Iroquois Falls. It wasn't long after we started there, and then not long after that that I was saved, that I started being not pushed, but gently prodded into the Lord's work. I was asked to help with the building of the manor at the Northland Bible Camp. And through that work, there was some amazing things that I learned. I learned, first of all, how to humble myself at such a big project. To build a chapel is not like building a little ice fishing hut or to shovel your driveway like some of you might be asked to do for mom or dad. But when you look at such a large piece of space and you start looking at the blueprints or the plans, it can be very overwhelming, much like probably some of you feel about schoolwork or exams or different things that come up to you in your lives. But what I realized very quickly was that all that work that we were being asked to do, it didn't matter how big the work was. It didn't matter how small we were. It just mattered what you brought to that work. There's many places in the Bible, in Scripture, that the Lord asked his people to build things for him or to do jobs for him. And it didn't matter how few of them there were or how big it was, like building the temple in the days of Solomon. But he always provided the things we needed. He provided the workers. He provided the materials. He provided the sustenance to keep the workers working. And that's exactly what happened at the Greenwood. At the beginning, there was only a few of us. There was only a couple of us digging holes in the mud and getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. And it wasn't long after that that more people were showing up, more men to do the work, more ladies to prepare the meals and to help out and encourage. And it wasn't long after that that I started to see
God's work, God's plan in all the work we were doing. Even in some of the things that we were disagreeing on. There was a few different times when there was different gentlemen that saw, that didn't see eye to eye on some of the plans or some of the ideas that were going on there. And the Lord worked through that also, taught us to respect each other and to have patience with one another. And also to look to Him to guide us, even though we may have thought we had all the answers, we knew what we were doing. I mean, you could be a master carpenter and sometimes still you come up to a bump in the road or a mistake in the plans or a lack of funding a lot of the times. And it and can really throw a wrench in your works, really slow down your process. But because I was so young in my faith, I really started to absorb a lot of the spirituality of the men around me. One of the gentlemen that were in charge, the building projects manager, we called him, was a man from Miracle Falls by the name of Pierre Ali. And he was an amazing carpenter. I've seen many of the projects he's taken on, and he's just an awesome builder. And his spirituality was even more awesome. His grace, we always started every job, every day with looking to the Lord and asking Him to guide us and to show us what He wanted. And through these other gentlemen and through their strengths and through their knowledge, I started to grow slowly. Like I said, at that time, when I started working at the manor, I had just been saved. I had just given my life to the Lord. And that's actually an interesting story in itself. Well, not so interesting as it is to you, but to me. I'm a truck driver, so I was driving down the road, and in the middle of the winter like this, it was, I believe, mid-January, cold and a little bit gloomy. And in the darkness, sometimes it tends to get to you, to kind of discourage you and bring you down. And at that time, I was very down. I was very discouraged. I felt like it didn't matter what things I tried to do to better things at home or in my life. It just seemed like I just kept getting notched back down further and further. And the one day the Lord kind of hit me with it. He nudged me in the right direction, and He said, "You know, you're missing a step. You got to give yourself over to Me. You can do everything you want in your own time and your own energy, but until you hand it over to Me and let Me take the wheel," as it was, as a bad metaphor for my truck driving, but to take that wheel of your life, then you're not ever going to go down the right road, and you're not ever going to feel anything but the bumps. You're not going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I did exactly that. I threw my hands up in the air, and I told Him, I said, "Just do what You will. Use Me however You want, and I will do my best to follow." And it's not to say that I'm perfect in any way, or that I'm getting any more perfect. I try every day to be better than the day before. Somebody recently told me, he called me a shoe leather Christian, saying that I walked the things that I talked. And it was encouraging to hear that, but it also made me feel a little bit unworthy, because no matter how much I learn and no matter how much I try, I just feel sometimes like I fall away, stuck in traffic, and you start saying nasty things to the guy in front of you or beside you who cut you off, or somebody that's said something discouraging to you, and you want to, you know, rebuke them and get back in their face. And I feel like sometimes I do. I falter and I fall away. But at the end of the day, I'm not enough anyways, right? None of us are enough. So it's something that I've come to accept, that no matter how hard these things get to me, that the Lord will always be there to guide me, there to work me through it. And and it doesn't matter what work he needs me to work through either. It doesn't matter what he puts before me. As I said at the beginning of my speaking, I'm not much of a speaker. I'm not a public speaker. I like to talk. My wife always laughs at me about that. She says I never stop talking, but I'm not much of a person to be up in front of others and to speak. But the Lord, he's using that to draw my strengths, to try me with the fire, to kind of strengthen me. And sometimes I feel like the more I'm asked to speak, the more the worse I get at it, because I get more nervous and I get more discouraged on myself. But then when I look into His Word, I start to read through and ask Him for inspiration. The more I feel useful. I feel like He can guide me and help me to help others. Like I'm here, hopefully, helping some of you today. I know that when I was a young man, I had the luck of having a strong earthly father. He worked hard and he taught me how to work young in my life, like I said. And I had the occasion to learn from him. And then when I became a teenager, it became more of a burden and less of a blessing to work with him. I found myself needing more time with my friends, less time at home, more time playing and chasing after the idle things of this world, and less time learning from his instruction. And I always tell him, when I was, you know, I tell him, I say, Dad, when I was a teenager, I said, you weren't very smart. I said, you were uneducated and you didn't know a whole lot. And he kind of looks at me funny, and I said, you know, I got to be about 21, 22 years old, and you got really smart all of a sudden. You knew all this stuff, and I wanted to learn from you. I said, it's interesting. He says, it happened quick, too, and he'll laugh at me. And that's the way that we are. I think that's the way that I was anyways before I came to the Lord. I believed that everything in this book, it didn't matter to me. I didn't need that. I mean, I'm smart enough without that. I'm good enough without that. I don't need all this extra. I mean, it's a lot of work to look through Scripture and to find the things that we need and to help to encourage others and to grow. But at the end, the Lord, He nudges us in His time. And that's what He did with me through my wife and through the fellowship. And there's a few verses that really do encourage me, especially when it comes to work, comes to different tasks that the Lord gives me in my life. Hold on, I'll find it here somewhere. I apologize again. I was prepared for an hour message, and Dave told me a little while ago that it'd only be a half an hour, so I'm trying to kind of speed through some of this, so that I can give you the relevant parts. Ecclesiastes 3, starting at verse 9. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to occupy. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know it can be hard to look at labor, look at a job, something that mom or dad asked you to do, and go shovel the driveway, and you look at that as a gift. But I think that the Lord uses all the obstacles that He puts before us as building blocks. Whether it be to, like I said, go shovel the driveway, it helps you with physical strength and refreshes you and gives you fresh air. Or whether it be to watch over your brother or sister, to teach you patience, or to teach you a little bit of empathy for them, or whether it be once you get older, whether you have a job that asks you to do sometimes not so nice things, whether it be to for plumbers to deal with other people's filth, I guess you'd say, when there's a big mess or a backup, or whether it be for a police officer or somebody to deal with accidents on the side of the road, that all these burdens are used for some way to build us, to help us to get stronger, not just physically, but a lot of the time in our faith. Like I said, like when I was out in the camp digging holes for the manor, and the bugs are eating you alive, and the mud's up to your knees, and you really don't feel like being there, but you know that you're there for the Lord, and that He's using that work to guide you and to build you. Sorry again. And sometimes the work that the Lord gives us. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit mixed up with my verses here. And sometimes that the work that the Lord gives us. The important part is to remember what we're doing it for. It's not to think of our own selfish ambitions, whether it be to get money, to provide for our families, or to study, to get finished with your homework so that you can go and play, but that we would remember that everything we do, all the work that we do, is for the Lord, and it's given to us by Him. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12 says, And I thank Christ Jesus. Oh, sorry, that's not the right verse. I apologize. Like I said, I'm not much of a public speaker. There it is, sorry. It's Colossians 3, 22. Bondservants, obey in all things that your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that all you also have masters in heaven. Most of us wouldn't consider ourselves bondservants or slaves, but we all do have earthly masters, whether it be mom or dad, or somebody in charge at work, or the policeman on the side of the road. We have to follow the rules, and we have to sometimes swallow our pride and do as we're asked. I know that can be a hard thing to do for most of us, for myself especially. I think it's just important, like I said, to remember what the work is for, who we're doing it for, and to remember that through that work, there's work being done in us that'll strengthen us, no matter how difficult or burdensome that work can be. I know it's hard to see gifts when it all looks like disaster and negativity around us, like the gentleman this morning was talking about. He couldn't see how something could be useful, or how that he would be more than what people were saying he was going to be. But the Lord works through these things. He uses all of them to build us, and then later on He may use us to build others, as we're here to do today. I just pray that He would continue in His work through me, through you, all of you, and that I praise Him for never giving up on that work in progress that I am anyways, And I'm sure that many of us feel at some point in our lives. And I thank you very much for asking me to be here today to share my testimony. I'm sorry that it's been so long and so dry for you young people to listen. And I just pray that the Lord would use some of it to guide you all the way He's guided me. Thank you, Dave.